Hi, everybody. Welcome to Fireside Chat number 242. And I'm Dennis Prager, and this is Otto. Otto needs no introduction. And I could prove it. I got a beautiful illustration from an eight-year-old viewer in Louisiana, Lydia. Thank you. I loved your letter. And here is her rendition of Otto and Me. Let me get that up here. I'm framing it, actually. We good? We good, Nate? Nice job for an eight-year-old. It's better than I could do, and I'm not eight. Okay, Otto, you are the subject of a great deal of attention in the world. All right, so everybody, Father's Day is coming up. I'm going to talk about fathers. It's very appropriate. We have on Otto's Tales for Father's Day. That's my dad. It's a rendition of my own father. May he rest in peace. He lived till 96. I have a few things to say about my dad since it's Father's Day. I think it's appropriate. And of course, that's Otto and Me. To be technical, it's Otto and I. I'm a big grammar fan, just for the record. And you can get this Otto's Tales at Amazon. Or you can watch it being enacted, and it is read by Craig. And that's an in-joke. I rib Craig a lot, so that was just another example of ribbing him. Craig is an instrumental part of PragerU. Anyway, you'll love it. It's videoed, and you can get the Otto's Tales about my dad and the two of us on one of our adventures. So it's an interesting thing. I've thought a lot about fathers. I am a father. I have two wonderful sons. I am blessed. I'll even say a word about being blessed with the type of children you have. I am a realist, and I don't have a romantic view of life. I don't have a cynical view of life. I really, really try to see what is true. And that's been part of the reason, to the extent that I've been effective in touching people's lives, it's because I'm real and I see the world realistically. I'll give you an example in terms of my saying I'm blessed with my two sons. There's a lot of luck in how your children turn out. People don't like to acknowledge that. Almost nobody likes to acknowledge it. The only people who acknowledge it are a lot of people whose children didn't turn out so well. I guess they would acknowledge there's luck. If you're blessed with your children, you may well have done a good job as a parent. There is such a thing as doing a good job as a parent. I don't deny that. I hope I did a good job. I don't know if I did a great job, but I hope I did a good job. But there's luck no matter what. And what troubles people, I know this from my radio show, I have a great advantage over anybody else talking publicly, and that is that I have been talking with, not just to, people for 40 years. I figured out that I have talked with more people than anybody living in the whole world. I'm certain of that. 40 years of talking with people, not just to. And I've learned a great deal, and a lot of people are upset when I say there's luck in life. A lot of religious people find that particularly troubling because they want to believe that God is involved in everything that happens. I think God is involved, but they want more. They want to believe that God willed it. And I don't see rational or biblical evidence for that belief. If you're hit by a drunk driver, I don't believe God sent the driver. I'm not even trying to convince those of you who do believe God sent the driver. I in some ways envy you if you believe that, but I don't. I think there is good luck and bad luck in life, and I've had mostly good luck. I'm so healthy. Why is that anything but luck? Now, maybe God wants me to be healthy. All right, but what about all the people who got cancer at 40 years of age? My wife lost her sister. Her sister was 32, died of breast cancer. Did she do anything to deserve that? Did God inflict the cancer on her? And I'm not saying he didn't, but that's not my belief. There is luck. back to children. There is luck in how children turn out. There are a lot of wonderful parents with an awful child. There are a lot of awful parents with a wonderful child. How do you figure that one out? There is a man in my life, I won't go further in identifying him, but I know him extremely well. He's a precious, precious human being. He was abandoned by his father, raised by a stepfather who molested him, then was sent to a home for boys where he was molested again. I mean, his background, if he became a mass murderer, people would say, yeah, makes sense, look at his background. Instead, he is the father of wonderful children and is an angel and is as honest as the day is long. There's no predicting in all of this. Why does God make a world in which luck is possible? Well, of course, what is God supposed to do? If God sent every cancer, if God sent every drunk driver, then where is free will? Either in nature or in among human beings. If God sent the drunk driver, why blame the drunk driver? He could go into court and say, God sent me. God put the drink in front of me. So anyway, with regard to your children, there is the element of luck. So I do feel blessed with the boys that I have. By the way, it wasn't always easy. My second son was adopted at birth, and his birth mother was a meth addict, and that affected his life. And I didn't know it till much later. I didn't know that she was a meth addict. And there were difficult times. And I thank God he's alive, to be perfectly honest, given the fentanyl mass murder element to fentanyl, which is what really fentanyl is. It's mass murder. So I'm lucky he's alive. I'm lucky he's wonderful. He just got married. He's a responsible, not only a responsible citizen, and I got a great wife, but both my boys share my values. How's that for winning a lottery? You know that when I meet parents, one of the things I do, because I'm not good at chit-chat, so I like to ask real questions. So I will ask, and this happens a lot because I have dinner often with people who help PragerU, as just an example. But I will ask people, how many children do you have? They'll give me whatever number it is, and then I'll say, may I ask, and nobody has ever objected to my asking, how many of them share your values? And the record in years and years of asking this is basically one-third all their children share their values, one-third none of their children share their values, and one-third about half their children. I mean, obviously, if you have three children, you don't have half, but you get my point. So I would say that two-thirds of the people I ask who have my values, and I will ask, do your children share your values? About two-thirds cannot say that all their children share their values. Frankly, I'm amazed when I meet anyone whose children do share their values, given what schools and popular culture do to young people and have been doing for a generation at least. So I feel very lucky in regard to my kids. Point number two about now being Father's Day and being a father and having had a father, obviously. The thing to, I'm very personal on these fireside chats. I, long ago when I started in radio, I debated within myself how open I would be about my own life. And I thought that the more people know about me, the more real I become and the more effective my message. And it was a gamble that I took, and it was the right gamble to take. So this is not good or bad. It's just a revealing aspect. I knew starting in high school, the thing I most wanted to be in life was not related to career, and it was to be a father. I must admit, I was much more preoccupied. I don't know about much more, but I was more preoccupied with looking forward to being a father than even being married. But I assumed, I'm very conventional, I think you should actually marry before you become a father. It's one of my middle-class Judeo-Christian values that I wish everybody adopted. The world would be in much better shape if everybody married the person that they produce a child with, men and women. Is Otto, how's Otto doing? You think he's going to last the entire session?
Nope, maybe if you pet him.
Oh, no. Okay. And here it is. This is a new thing in the last half year. I don't know if we pay him enough. He's leaving.
He says we changed the time we film. And
is that it? We changed the time we... oh, it threw him off?
Threw off his...
Yeah, he may come back. Anyway, you saw him. You know he was here. I do feel funny, though, talking next to an empty Otto bed. So I knew I wanted to be a dad. And by the way, this will to be really open, and this is really what I want to get to with regard to fathers. My dad was not a particularly warm dad, which is very typical of that generation, the World War II generation. They did not exactly effuse love and warmth and hugs to their kids. That this is very new. So I wanted to sort of be able to have a father-child relationship that had a lot of love. And since it wasn't so much when I grew up, I wanted to have it when I became grown up, and I could then do that with my own child. I have a view of family that you can fill the holes of your childhood in large measure by the family you make. It's like sort of like for most people, life gives us an opportunity to fill the holes of our own childhood when we become parents. And by the way, it turned out to be true. I did fill that hole. Having said that, I do want to make something really clear. I would rather be raised with much less love, like I was, by a father who represented good values and who gave me boundaries and guidance and was a good moral model than a loving father who was not all those things. I just want to make that clear. Of that, I have no doubt. Fathers in particular are not there to be love bombs. They're there to be models of manhood because boys don't have a clue what it means to be a man. They grow up to be big, wild boys if they don't know how to become a man. I knew how to become a man because I had one in my house. That's bigger than getting hugged. Just for the record. So I'm being totally open about my own upbringing, that it was not all that loving, that's true, but I got what a father, more importantly, needs to be. And that made me a very strong and, if I may say, masculine man. Not toxic masculine. Masculine, masculine. Goody. Wonderful. I'm not praising me. I'm praising my father because that was such a big factor in the man that I became. I'm warmer than my dad was, but that's a bonus. I hope that I gave my boys a model of a man. That's what I really, really hope that I gave them. You'd have to ask them. Don't ask them on the fireside chat just if you bump into them. I hope I did, and that stability, putting aside even the masculine part, children need guardrails more than they need love. This is so against everything that you have been taught and heard, but it is true. Children need security more than love. And a lot of parents have an insecure home, but shower their kids with love. And it's not very helpful at all. You can't compensate, you can't use love to compensate for the lack of stability and security in a child's life. Love is not the number one item. Have I talked about, I'm sure I have, but I don't remember. I'm looking at Megan like she knows 240, God knows, fireside chats. That's really a compliment to her. But she has instant access. Did I talk about my views? I'm not going to do that now, but if at least on unconditional love.
Oh, yes.
I have, right? On more than one occasion.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You always stir up.
I always stir people up, of course, because it's one of the false gods of our time. Mm-hmm. Unconditional love. I don't think God gives unconditional love. I don't think people should. No matter how despicable you are, I love you. It drives me crazy, to be honest. If why we remove love from all moral criteria is just one of the great puzzles of my life. Be that as it may, there's a question, I think, as I review the questions for 2 minutes before the fireside chat, and one of them is on hate. Mm-hmm. That's right. I don't know if we'll have the time, but I know I would like to take that one. Anyway, if your father has played any positive role in your life, I hope you will tell him that. And by the way, I mentioned boys and fathers. Girls and fathers is also extraordinarily important. Even secular studies that have been done by people who don't have traditional values like I do have seen a direct correlation between girls going from guy to guy to guy. And overwhelmingly, it was because they didn't have a particular bond with their father. Fathers are as important to girls, virtually as important to girls as they are to boys. That's how important fathers are. We live in an age of the dismissal of fathers. The New York Times, I've written about this, so I only mention that because you could look it up. And the New York Times has had a number of opinion pieces that fathers are not really necessary. It's that's toxic. It's almost beyond belief. A lot of women today do think that. It's another one of the unfortunate consequences of the feminist movement, that it belittled the role of fathers in children's lives. A lot of women think that all the child needs is them, especially after divorce. There are a lot of women very angry at the man whom they divorced or who divorced them, and really think that my kids don't really need him. Or related, a lot of men after divorce become uncle dad. They become loving uncles. Uncles are for love. Fathers are for standards. The issue with divorce is have I talked about divorce? Maybe I should do one on divorce.
It's been a while since you've talked. Yeah.
Because I before I ever married, I worked a lot with college-age kids, a lot. And I realized something. The issue was not the divorce in the children's lives. Most children could handle parental divorce. The real issue was what happened after the divorce. If those relations were strained or even toxic between the divorced mother and father, that's what hurt kids, not the fact that the parents divorced. Okay, time for the question. Thank you. And now to you.
Hey, Dennis. My name is Ricky Belt. I'm 22 years old, and I'm from Dallas, Texas. My question is in regards to a statement y'all put out the other day that said, it's more important to know why God is necessary than to believe in the existence of God. That's quite puzzling to some of us in the Christian community, and sifting through the comments, I could tell there were some other people that were put off by that. So I was wondering if you could go a little more in depth about your reasoning for that.
I love it. Ricky Bell, I am so happy you asked that. You have no idea. I blew it. Megan, I blew it. Oh, no, you could try again. This is like a repentance machine. You sin, you come back and do the right thing, and you're forgiven. They should rename it. The Repentance Pad. Yes, I am convinced of that. I have been my whole life. I have devoted my life much more to arguing about the necessity of God than the existence of God. And I'll tell you one reason. I have a few, but I'll tell you one. People who believe in God, it means nothing. Nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. I know nothing about you if I know you believe in God. You may be wonderful. You may be despicable. You may be an idiot. You may be profound. You have to admit that is true. You know nothing about a person if you know they believe in God. Hitler believed in God. Okay? Just for the record. He didn't believe in the God of the Bible, which is, by the way, that's pretty significant. So the first thing you should ask if somebody says, I believe in God, is which God? My first question is, did the God you believe in give the Ten Commandments? If the God they believe in didn't give the Ten Commandments, of what use is that God? If God didn't make his moral will known to us, of what use is that God? You know what that God is for most people, and what God is for most people? A celestial butler. Somebody in heaven who answers my requests. You might as well call God James. James, would you please send me a higher income? James, would you please heal my sickness? James, would you please? God is not a butler. God is a morally demanding, judging, loving God. Morally demanding means you can't be loving if you're not morally demanding. So I know nothing if I know you believe in God. Most people who believe in God, their belief, in my opinion, is worthless. It is morally inconsequential. What are the consequences of no belief in God? What are the consequences of there not being a God? That's important. Most religious people will not have an answer to the question, why is it so important to believe in God? They might say, well, a Christian, you use the Christian example, might say, well, you have to be saved. But even that's not enough, because you also have to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved by traditional Christian standards. So even God isn't enough for salvation. You also need Christ, correct? Is that fair? So for a Christian, the question is obvious. For a Jew, if I know you believe in God, but it's not the God who revealed his will, and at any time, it's not my God, it's not the God Jews believe in, and Jews gave the world the God that Christians believe in, and Muslims believe in, theoretically in both cases, because not all Christians, not all Muslims, not all Jews believe in the same God by any means. So yeah, I'm adamant about that. I only talk to people, if they ask me, why do you believe in God? In other words, what are your arguments? After all, I'm an atheist, I have great arguments for God's existence. Let's say I convince you God exists, okay? You're an atheist, you believe that the world made itself, which is an absurdity, literally an absurd belief. The world created itself, okay? Let's say you do, and I convince you, how could you believe the world made itself? Of course it was made. And you go, yeah, that's a good point. So what? How has that changed your life? Tell me in one way that has changed your life. The answer is it hasn't. Okay, there's a creator. Now what? Now what? That's my point. Now what? Now you need to know the consequences of why God is important. That matters. The fact that God exists has no effect on people if you don't know why God matters. So that line, which bugs a lot of people, and I fully get why it would, is really thought through on my part. My life has been devoted. I say this on my radio show. which is a regular radio show. It's not a religious show, but I'm one of the only, if not the only, talk show host who regularly has talked about religion, because it permeates my life, and it should permeate the Western world's life, as it once did. But I always say the biggest single message of my life has been, what are the consequences of secularism? That is what people need to understand. If people understand, I'll tell you this, if people understand the terrible consequences of secular society, the death of meaning, the death of objective morality, just to give you two gigantic consequences, that is more important to me than they believe God exists. I'll tell you why. There are parents, for example, who, well, they're not terribly religious. They don't know if they believe in God, but they do understand the consequences of secularism. They'll send their kids to a religious school. They'll even take their kids to church. I want you to know the importance of God and religion more than I even want you to be certain there is a God, because that doesn't mean anything if you don't know why it's important. Right? Does that make sense? Why is God important is a much more important question for religious people to offer their secular neighbors, friends, co-workers, and relatives than whether or not there is a God. Nothing changes until you understand how important God is. What's our timing? I did a lot on fathers and a fair amount on God's importance.
26.
We could take another question. All right. Let's see, where are we? Ricky, we did. Tyler, 13 years old, Los Angeles County. Hi, Otto, Dennis, not Megan's arm. What the hell is that about? Not Megan's arm.
Because you say I am more than just my arm.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, oh. So he's acknowledging.
Oh, I didn't realize it was a beautiful comment. I apologize, Tyler. I do. Oh, I get it now. Not Megan's arm, just Megan. I really blew that one. Well, we're not editing it out. I blew it. Snoopy and Nate the Great. Wait, Nate the Great philanthropist?
We went over this.
I forgot it. How did Nate get to be a great philanthropist?
You were complimenting his possible future massive donation to PragerU.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Did everybody hear Megan just now? Good. I just want you all to know that Nate is smiling, but it is the smile of self-consciousness. I was simply wondering how many languages you speak and how to say hello in each. You were really contemplating that, Tyler? That's a riot. Thank you for your weekly wisdom. God bless you. If Tyler is not homeschooled, I am a porcupine. This... Or at a religious school. It is not possible. 13-year-olds do not use the word wisdom. Unless they are at a religious school or homeschooled. It's a sad fact. It's one of the saddest facts. Wisdom is everything. So I don't know hello in a lot of languages. I speak four languages, but I get along in another two. But I speak four. But I love languages. And I have tried to learn thank you, not hello, because I meet so many people from so many countries living in any big city in America, certainly Los Angeles, that if I could say thank you, it means more than, you know, after they do something for me, I go hello, and then they'll think this guy's weird, right? Whereas thank you, I mean, right? If the waiter or waitress brings you something, you go hello. They wonder whom they're serving. So thank you. So my I didn't count the number of languages, but I'm sure it's at least a dozen. And the ones I'm most proud of are Amharic. You know what Amharic is? Anybody here know Amharic? That's the language of Ethiopia. There are a lot of Ethiopians in America. and especially LA and Washington. And so it took a while, but I learned it. And I have to tell you, if you learn thank you in a person's language and know no other word, you have won a friend for life. When I say to an Ethiopian, Amasaganalo, if they don't faint, they just go, they smile, such a broad smile. And that's pretty true for all of them. Armenian, because there are so many Armenians in Glendale, California, which happens to be the city I broadcast from. It's right outside of LA. And there are more Armenians in Glendale, California than in any Armenian city except the capital Yerevan, if I have that correctly. It is sort of Armenia West, Glendale, California. So I meet a lot of Armenians, and I learn Snored Garutun. I'm close. I know it's not perfect, but it's close. So those are my two, the two big ones.
I experienced this with Filipinos.
So Filipino, wait. So, salamat? Mm-hmm. Good. See that? Tagalog.
Yeah. You can also say salamat po. And I can't even explain what the po is, but that's it's like a...
Po means I take it back. I meant to say thank you, but I take it back.
Just kidding. But that's the one word, the most often word I will use.
Salamat. Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah, is it salamat or salamat?
I say salamat.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. And it's Tagalog, not Tagalog. Mm-hmm. See that? So I knew that. There's another. I really have tried to learn thank you. And when I do it in Arabic, which I did study, actually, that's not a one-word language for me, but I don't say shukran. I say alf shukran. I don't say thank you. I say 1,000 thanks, which generally cracks up my Uber driver, who's from an Arab country. I think he then wonders, ooh, will that be reflected in his tip? That would be a logical reaction. Mm-hmm. 1,000 thanks, does that mean 1,000 times normal tip? Or even twice? What my number? What is our number?
We're at 32.
32 already.
Yeah.
So, folks, salamat. Amasaganalo. Snodagaluchun. Merci. Vielen Dank. Spasiba.
Obrigado.
Obrigado, Portuguese. Very good. Anyway, great being with you. Happy Father's Day. And if you're alienated from your dad, unless the man is evil, and the odds are he's not, he's just deeply flawed, I think you should reach out to him. It'd mean a lot. See you next week.
Sounds good. I actually had another thought. There was a recent video, a recent TikTok or something, where this person went on a full rant, angry that someone asked where she's from. And
oh my God.
And imagine if you could, you need something to connect and say thank you and create kind of that fun moment. You need to know a little
That's
bit
about That's exactly
them.
Right.
Yeah.
Why would that, why is that, I don't even understand in the sick mind of a leftist why there's something wrong with it.
No, it would.
I want to deal with that.
Yeah.
Let me deal with that.
Yeah.
I want to deal with all the sicky stuff that they send out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.